Okay, and welcome back. It's Father Kramer next up, and we always enjoy talking to Father Kramer. If you don't know about Father Kramer, he is a long-term church insider in terms of his knowledge, understanding the people he knows. He understands what's being done to the Roman Catholic Church, who's doing it, and I think most of you who have been listening understand that now. The current Pope is a fraud. He's been put in there to certainly overthrow the normal church doctrine and upset it and reinvent the church into a new world order, a World Economic Forum sort of religion. It's all pretty creepy when you think about it. Not good. Welcome back, Father Kramer.
Well, it's great to be back. Bergoglio's agenda is being carried out relentlessly.
There's no pushback. No real pushback on the inside because they've taken charge. That's how they do it. They take over the majority of the control, the various mechanisms of control in any organization. And once they have it, they have it. Now, there was a piece I played earlier tonight. One of our journalists here named Rick Wiles wrote an essay in the year 2000, 23 years ago, in which he talked about the current then communist threat and overthrow of the nation. And where we are now is it's right out in the open. And he's suggesting now that 50% of Americans are communist in thought. They're at least mentally, they don't think of themselves as communists, but they are. They have been successfully reprogrammed and reformatted by the media, number one, by the education system, number two. And among all the things that are taken away from people is their morality. And that's obviously what's going on. Major target.
People do not understand what is communism. They think of the time of Stalin, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and they think, well, that's communism. Exactly. That is one form of communism. But if you look at China today, it's nothing like Stalin's Soviet Union. We have seen a refinement of the communist system that is far more virulent form of this disease than what we have formulated in the Marxism, the Leninist Marxism that was put into practice by Stalin.
Oh, exactly. People think of the hammer and sickle and Khrushchev and all. No. Communism is a sickness of mind. It's not necessarily even a political organism in the traditional sense. It's a sickness of thought and mind. It's very dangerous.
The mind control that is being carried out in the USA and in the English-speaking world, this is pure communism. The New York Times is the Wall Street Journal and those kind of publications are saying that people should not engage in critical thinking because that will make them that makes them susceptible to conspiracy theories. And if you talk to somebody who is highly learned and of that mentality, ask them to define a conspiracy theory. What is exactly a conspiracy theory? How do you define it? They will avoid giving you a definition. Because as soon as they define the term, you can crush them. You can demolish their whole idea, their whole doctrine. Their whole doctrine you can demolish. Using simple logic, you can demolish their whole doctrine. And that's why they will try to avoid defining the term, and they usually resort to abject ridicule. conspiracy theories, conspiracy. And if you challenge them, they just become more adamant and more denigrating in their attitude of dismissing you as a conspiracy theorist. That is how communism, that's how communists think. And that is how people in our universities, in the university faculties, you will find in the mass media and the corporate media, that's how they think, that's how they act, exactly in this manner. And it's not just the media. They have changed everything. Look in the court system, in law enforcement, and in the judiciary. They have changed the definitions of everything, so that what is the rule of law reduced to when the principle, the governing principle of all things, is the rule of Humpty Dumpty in Alice's Wonderland? There's a phrase in that work where Humpty Dumpty says, when I use a word, it means whatever I say it means, no more, no less. Now, when you redefine terms like that, what is evidence? What is proof? And the court just redefines it. Or a legislative body just redefines the terms. What they do is they unhinge the term from its definition. And when you unhinge a word from its definition, and you can make it mean whatever you want it to mean. And if it means whatever you want it to mean, it loses all meaning.
Right. Well, that's the semantic war on the American mind. Words no longer have their traditional meanings. They're different shades of this or that color, and it becomes very difficult to really have a focused, cohesive society under that kind of warfare. It's semantic warfare. You're right. 100% right.
Look at how Cardinal George Pell was convicted. Cardinal Pell had been investigating the Vatican finances and found irregularities. He had spoken, not that openly, but obliquely from the pulpit, though, very publicly, making veiled suggestions that Bergoglio is a fake pope, is an anti-pope. Mm-hmm. He said, I remember the way, and with his intonation, the tone of voice, his inflection, he said, the church has had 264 popes and 38 antipopes. And no one doubted what he was, the inference there was the possibility that Bergoglio was not a legitimate pope. Now, unlike what is usually the case, where the police will act on complaints or reports, and usually, the way it's always been in the past, if there is a complaint or a report, they will investigate to see if this is credible. If they find that the complaint is credible, they will investigate look for evidence that amounts to probable cause of crime. If they find evidence that amounts to probable cause, then they have a legitimate case. And the prosecution can bring it, can introduce the case, file the case with the court, and there could be a trial if there is a body of evidence amounting to probable cause. Now, what is evidence? Well, in all of the civilized world, evidence consists of established facts and circumstances. Now, those established facts and circumstances that indicate, that can be seen to be indicative of the probability of a crime having been committed. So if you have, the key word there is established facts and circumstances. When you have incriminating facts and circumstances that make it, that make it appear likely that the crime has been committed and that someone has committed a crime, then you can bring that person to trial. And the evidence for and against can be weighed. And if the evidence is such that it's beyond reasonable doubt that the person is guilty, then that overcomes the presumption of innocence. They've completely thrown this all. They've thrown this all out. Mm-hmm. Now they will say the complaint is credible, and whereas mm-hmm. in the past, if it's credible, you look for evidence. Now they will say the complaint itself substantiates. It's a self-substantiating complaint.
That's right. All in one. That's the evidence right within the complaint. And no one seems to question this new method of it's really conning and tricking people. It's psychologically very dangerous out there now for people because they're not thinking. They're just reacting. And they're told something, and because of the source who, if they happen to believe the source or have any respect for the source in whatever mind they're in, it says it, it's real. Your point is very well taken, very well.
Now what they're saying is if a complaint is credible, that suffices, that is now to be considered evidence. That mm-hmm. is considered evidence. But... Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to have forgotten that the term evidence in the jurisprudence of the centuries and in all the civilized world, evidence is defined as established facts and circumstances. A mere allegation does not establish any fact or circumstances. So it is not evidence. By definition, it is not evidence. And to say that we now consider that to be evidence means that the judiciary system is saying evidence no longer has a definition. It's whatever we want it to be. That's how they convicted Cardinal Pell in the first place. There was no evidence at all. And even though he won the appeal and he was freed and the conviction was overturned, it was overturned only because it was proven beyond all shadow of a doubt that he could not possibly have committed that crime. So he was presumed guilty until proven innocent. So
that's right. Yeah.
This irregularity in the judiciary system has not been corrected simply by setting aside his conviction, because that perverse ruling on evidence remains. One is still presumed guilty until proven innocent. Unless you have enough evidence to discredit an allegation, you will be convicted, because the burden of proof, if you are accused, the burden of proof is now on you. So what that means, Cardinal Pell, for example, there are many others like him, and I know particular individuals who I won't mention names, but I know of a number of cases, people in law enforcement who were uncorruptible, who have been convicted of crimes, and the entire burden of proof were put on them. But the judiciary systems are so corrupt that they destroy the evidence, that they alter the evidence. I'm thinking of one case in England in particular, where a police inspector was convicted of a crime, and they violated every law, every regulation. They used Soviet methods to break him down and convict him unjustly. And I know similar cases in the United States. The same thing has happened. I know there are many cases like that in the United States, where they are the so-called authorities have a total disregard for the rule of law, for evidence. They'll fabricate evidence just in order to convict people. And this is what happened to that police inspector in England. And this is what happened to Cardinal Pell. The police went out looking for somebody who would make a complaint against him. They weren't acting on a complaint. They were searching for someone that they could find to find some dirt they can use against Cardinal Pell.
Got it.
And that's what they act. And then the court convicted him on the basis of the testimony alone, without a shred of evidence, as evidence is defined.
Well, that's communism. That's
communism. Yes. And when someone in the media who was honest pointed out that the logistics of the alleged crime were impossible, he could not possibly have committed the crime. It was a physical impossibility. That's when the court heard the appeal and overturned the conviction. There are many, many cases like that now, where if you're accused, you're presumed guilty unless you can prove innocence. And in order to discredit, how do you discredit an accusation if you're accused by someone you don't know? Unless you can enter the criminal mind of a person who fabricates a false accusation against you, you can't discredit. You can't produce evidence against someone who you don't know the person. You don't know anything about their life. You can't investigate them. You can't find any information that can be used against them to discredit them. So, in other words, you're defenseless against a system that has completely perverted. They have inverted and perverted the rule of law.
You got it.
That's communism. Perfect. And that's the system we live under now.
Correct.
There's no hammer and sickle. We don't need a hammer and sickle.
Nope.
We don't need the American flag to be replaced with a hammer and sickle.
Nope.
We have communism ruling from the White House and from Congress.
I'll add Zionist Bolshevik communism. That's three words that work well together. This is truly unprecedented, what we're going through now. These times, they are...
Jeff, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just thinking about what you said, and It's hard to believe for an awful lot of people that this country has been so grievously overthrown. They just can't believe it, because the names of the institutions are still there: the White House, the executive branch, the Supreme Court, Congress. But it's just like you said, you don't have to have a hammer and sickle flag. The American flag is communist. It means communism now. People don't look at it with pride and respect like they did. Changed. It happened so stealthily. No one could see it. Just snuck in. They did it, though. They did it. They were communists in the Roosevelt administration. People don't believe that. Joe McCarthy was correct. There were communists crawling into every nook and cranny in the 50s. And the Chinese communists now are into America up to its eyeballs. They get anything they want. I just had a story today. Three U.S. Navy sailors caught spying for China, turning over the complete plans for some war game exercise in the Western Pacific. So they're facing treason charges, although they'll probably get off. But the Chinese get whatever they want here. It's communism. They're not restrained by the morality of white Western Christian civilization. They hate us. All right.
You don't have to refer to the armed services as the Red Army. Because...
No.
The...
If it's okay, I was also trying to pull this video up. I'd like to play 3 minutes of the video with Rick Wiles. You don't know him over in Ireland, but he's very big here. Big program. It's called True News. And he talks about this very thing at over 10, 12 minutes. And the genesis of his talking about this was a paper he wrote 23 years ago about the threat that communism was already perpetrating and playing on the American stage 23 years ago. And he was extremely concerned then. He couldn't find the paper, the article that he wrote. He announced on the program, I guess the other day, that he had lost it. Well, somebody found it. And it was found on Rents.com. And he very kindly put up an image of the article, the title, and he put our logo up there as well, which was very nice. And here's what he had to say. I'm going to play this again. Many of you weren't with us for the first hour, so take a quick listen. This is very good. Excellent.
This country has been infiltrated by communists, and they operate inside the political parties, but they have infiltrated every strata of our society, our colleges and universities, even now down into the schools, the school boards. They're, of course, in the news media. They're everywhere. And they don't have to call themselves communists. They're making you and your neighbors into communists because they're saturating your mind every day with communist indoctrination. And so eventually, you start thinking like a communist. They don't have to point a gun at you.
Right. You're a member of the party now.
Yeah. Once you think like a communist, you've joined the party. And I would say right now about 50% of the American people are communists in the way that they think. They think like communists. They might not say they're a communist. And they'd be telling the truth. They didn't think that they were communists.
But they would be in favor of communist principles.
Yes, absolutely. They would favor communist principles. And I would say overwhelming majority of the Democratic Party is communist in their thinking. Completely indoctrinated. So until the patriots of this country come to the place of admitting that we have been taken over from within and that the takeover has already occurred, we will never overturn it. If you don't know who your enemy is, you'll never know how to fight him. If you can't recognize your enemy, you'll never be able to take him down. And if you don't even believe you've been conquered, how will you get yourself free?
Right.
So we have to come to this admission. It's a very painful admission as a people. We have to say, look, we've been conquered. We're now in a state of oppression. A foreign entity, the Communist Party, has infiltrated this country over decades and has successfully taken control of the instruments of power and now are persecuting the American patriots. That's where we're at.
Right.
And that's where we're at. So, correctly stated, and I don't know what the chances of any kind of reversal of this are. I think they're slim and none. This communist thing has been in the works for 75 years. In earnest, they've been flooding this country. And if you know anything about, I keep talking about this book. It's more of a booklet. Major Jordan's Diaries. J-O-R-D-A-N. Major Jordan's Diaries. It's actually his testimony in front of Congress. He was a security guard at U.S. Army Air Base in, I think, Montana, where American four-engine transports were stopping to refuel en route to Alaska and then over into the Soviet Union during the war. All during the war. For most of the war, anyway. And he was a security guard there, and he could not get into the back of these planes. They're American transports with American crew, But the back of the plane, where all the cargo was off limits. Well, he got to the point where he was so suspicious, he took two or three armed guards, and they went up to the back, and they banged on the door. And inside the back of each plane were two Soviet operatives, to make sure the cargo was safe. So this one opened the door, and he found himself facing two or three armed guards with weapons drawn, and Major Jordan went into the plane. And what did he find in the plane and in all the planes? Case after case, briefcase sealed after sealed briefcase, boxes after box and box again of American top secret military and scientific documentation. Everything about the atomic bomb, everything about the military, everything about American politics, economy, you name it. We were being sold out by the Roosevelt regime all during the war. Everything was being shipped to the Soviet Union. Now, that's a fact, and I know a lot of you probably won't believe it, but you can get the book, Major Jordan's Diaries, and read it for yourself. Under oath, sworn testimony before the U.S. Congress, about 1951, I believe. So that's a fact as well, Father Kramer.
That was more known than people realize today. In 1965, the Superior General of the Jesuits was a Spanish priest by the name of Father Pedro Arrupe. In September of 1965, at the Second Vatican Council, he said, the new atheist society is directed by those who work in a most premeditated and very effective manner. It employs means that are scientific and technical, as well as social and economic. It follows a perfectly elaborated strategy and exercises an almost complete dominance in international organizations, in financial societies, in the communications media, television, film, radio, the press, and in other ways. That's 1965.
Wow. But well, there you go.
If you point that out today, they will dismiss it simply by saying, well, you're a conspiracy theorist, if you believe that.
Well,
and they won't define what is a conspiracy theory. Because
no, it's called reality, and everything is run by conspiracy. And if you research conspiracies, you are not a theorist. You are a researcher, and that's what people do.
They will say these kind of conspiracies, global conspiracies, are impossible. They would have to be such a vast conspiracy, it just couldn't be. And this is nonsensical. History itself testifies against the nonsensical nature of this kind of thinking. How did the communists rule one-third of the world in officially communist regimes? They did not have the majority of the population conspiring with them, but they were able to achieve dominance over entire nations because they knew how to gain control of the levers of power. And that's all you have to do to subjugate a nation under a tyrannical dictatorship, by getting control of the levers of power. And that is primarily through the monetary system. When you have control over the monetary system, over the judiciary, when you have control over the educational system, so that everyone who's elected, and over the political power, political parties, everyone who's elected to office thinks in the same way. To use the term of Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda, the mind is rubber stamped.
Right.
Everyone's mind is duplicated with this rubber stamp, and people have push button minds. They just push their buttons, and they will say, when you engage in any kind of critical thinking to disprove the nonsense that they're spewing out in order to promote their communism, they will say, that's a conspiracy theory.
That's exactly right. Wow. Tough times and difficult for a lot of people who might otherwise be open to it, to accept what we're talking about. But it's the God's truth. It is what it is. If you just read Major Jordan's book, his testimony, it will revise the entire way you look at the world and at world history, World War II. And those two communist operatives in the back of the planes, when they saw the pointed guns at them, they both apparently broke down and started sobbing and begging, please don't come in here, please don't open these cases, because they knew they'd be executed for allowing the Americans to find out what was being done to them. So there you go. I one little note I want to correct. Last hour I played the excerpt from The X-Files showing predictive programming, how they were talking about thickened blood and heart attacks from the thickened blood, which everyone who has been injected with these bioweapons now has thickened blood, very thick. It's so thick it clots before it can even be withdrawn in a normal routine blood draw. It's bad. And that episode was not episode 7, it was 17. I didn't look at my notes correctly. 17, season 2, called End Game. I think that's what it was called. Anyhow, I hope all of you will take a look at that and others. There was so much in those programs. Have you ever looked at those, Father Kramer, the X-Files programs? They were full of inside information 30 years ago.
Yes, I know. I did see some of them. Yes, the predictive programming is absolutely amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I played an example of it tonight. Just stunning. And there were others as well. All the way through the production of that series, Chris Carter was getting information, probably being told what to weave into the storylines he was writing. He was one of the chief writers, of course, and had the ultimate say-so over storylines that were submitted by other writers. So yes, it was a vehicle of predictive programming. No question about it. Zero. Endgame. That's what it was called. Endgame.
What was called Endgame? Was it
the episode of The X-Files with the mention of thickened blood and a retrovirus causing it. And the retrovirus just happened to have an end on it that looked precisely like a spike protein. It's funny. It's 30 years ago. You know, it's all been planned, all of it. Nothing is spontaneous anymore. Never was, really.
Well, I've investigated myself. I've done some research myself on the origins of this spike protein that's been inflicted on the world. And this has been so carefully prepared in advance. They knew exactly what kind of virus was going to be the outbreak, what kind of a disease, what virus would cause it, what sort of place it was good to break out from. There's just no way that it is impossible for someone to know in advance what kind of disease, what kind of virus, what sort of place it's going to break out in, when it's going to happen. And they were very precise in foretelling exactly when these things are going to happen and what kind of a disease it's going to be. And the conferences that they held in the years just leading up to the outbreak in 2019, it was all organizing and mobilizing their response to a disease that they predicted exactly what kind of disease it would be and where it would come from. There's no doubt that this was something inflicted on the world. It was a man-made a man-made virus, and they pretty much said that they were going to inflict this on the world because they could not, they cannot predict this. You cannot just predict that there's going to be. It's one thing to say there's going to be soon. It's overdue. There's going to be a big pandemic of some sort somewhere in the world in the next 50 years. That's one thing to say. But to say, as Anthony Fauci said in 2016, in the next administration, there's going to be a surprise outbreak. Oh, really? And then how do they prepare for the surprise outbreak? They have conferences where they describe a coronavirus, a respiratory infection, a severe respiratory infection, and it's going to break out from some mountainous landlocked region that just, you know, it just happens to be Hubei province in China where they had the and the outbreak began in Wuhan, just by pure coincidence, where they have the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
What a coincidence. Wow. Did you see the story about the Chinese bioweapons lab that was found here in California? The story broke a few days ago, last week. Early this week. It was near Fresno, California, center of the state. It was in a warehouse. It was a bioweapons lab. There was a lot of different kind of material there from shipped in from China. They sent it over. The shipping containers were still there. So this was a CCP or PLA laboratory, a weapons lab. We don't know what it was doing because we can't get a straight bit of information out of this government. And by the way, the government knew about that lab months ago. And the local health department found it, called the CDC, and the CDC knew about this months ago, but sat on it, I assume, trying to either do damage control or find out who was involved with it in terms of the Chinese espionage agents who were. Over 900 mice were in there, not rats, mice. They were all being used for experiments. They had HIV in there. They had samples of, COVID. They had everything in there. You never know what to believe in these stories anymore. But no one mentioned the fact that this was known to the federal government months ago, and they allowed it to continue. Probably to observe. I don't know. I'm sure there are other facilities like that in this country, which are not being talked about. We have a pretty good intelligence service here, if nothing else. Just look how well they spy on Americans, if you want to know. So they can spy on anybody. Anyhow, that was kind of an interesting story. The Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, owns this country. And I hope you saw that Chinese Communist Party video that I have up, where one of the big shots in the CCP announced to six others on screen, the Americans, don't worry about the Americans. Every one of them who's taken a shot is dead. Don't worry about it. It's right there on the video. It seems to be accurate. We'll have to wait and see. So the Chinese are not only involved on that level, but they own the Biden, the creeper, and his son. They own the Biden regime. They run the damn Washington government. They've got so much on Biden right now, and by extension on this country, that they can do whatever they want. And they're not the only ones, but they're the primary. That's what I get.
What most people seem to not understand is that the bioweapon is not the kind of bioweapon that you use in a conventional war that immediately kills huge numbers of people.
Like mustard gas? No, they don't. It's a biological synthetic. It has nothing to do with any kind of gas warfare or anything like that.
Because if you injected people and they drop dead immediately, No one's going to want that injection. Everyone will refuse it, and people will become violent in their refusing. They'll resort to force against their oppressors if they're going. It's going to be the regime of a death camp where you're all going to get the lethal death by lethal injection right away. No, what this is. We have to understand that it's in the context of transhumanism, that the present human race has to be phased out and a new race has to be brought in. And to do this, they use what is called soft kill eugenics. Soft kill, which means you're given the so-called vaccine, which is a bioweapon that will kill you over the years. It may take 6 years, it may take 10 years. But you're never going to live to old age if you're injected with this bioweapon. It's like a time released death by lethal injection.
That's exactly right. Exactly correct.
That's why it's so effective, because people don't associate the death with the injection.
Yeah, it's too much time. Plausible deniability, and they have dozens of different causes of death that they can actually list on the death certificate. Dozens of complicated issues that are not simple, cut and dried cause of death. They can do anything they want with words. We go back to the semantic issue as well. So quite right. It's pretty damn grim out there.
But when you see that they have in advance promoted this agenda, that they're going to exterminate 90% of the population, and how are they going to do it? They're going to use vaccines. That's what they said. They're going to use what they call vaccines, and this is to
Correct.
Reduce the population.
Yep.
They never explained how does a vaccine reduce population. They never explained that. Because if they did, then you would know that it is mass murder.
It is that. Everyone, just back quickly to the X-Files again. Everyone who's been injected... That nurse, we have one nurse who's 38-year veteran, New York City Hospital, and others. Everyone who's been injected, their blood is the first victim of the attack on the body, the biological attack. The blood is no longer red. It's no longer thin. It's gelled. It's like sludge. And the heart cannot pump it without wearing itself out and eventually having a heart stoppage, a heart attack. A myocardial infarct. The heart stops. It can't push the sludge around. Not only that, but the sludge is dark, blue, black. It's not red. It's carrying no oxygen. That's why people are tired all the time. And that's why, as you say, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, the body's going to quit. It's going to give up. It can't deal with this. So you have plausible deniability. It's all planned, all of it.
And before, it used to be that under the Catholic popes, the Vatican was very much opposed to communism. Now, the Vatican under Bergoglio is communist. And people just don't seem to grasp this basic reality that the Vatican has become communist. They are enforcing the bioweapon injection on everyone who works in the Vatican. And Bergoglio has made Victor Manuel Fernandez the prefect of the castry for the Doctrine of the Faith. And now they're saying that any Marian apparition where heaven threatens a punishment against the human race for its sins, that there's going to be a chastisement to the world for its sins, that that alone is proof that it's false. That, as if God cannot threaten the human race with punishment. Not only, if that criterion were valid, not only would every apparition of the Virgin Mary down through the centuries that speaks of a punishment because people are massively disobeying the law of God, that God's going to punish the world, that these are warnings, that all these warnings are therefore false. But not only those, but what about the prophets in the Old Testament? What about Jesus Christ himself in the New Testament?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you not find throughout both the Old and New Testament that God is threatening the world with punishment if they do not submit to the rule of God over his creation? The law of God must be obeyed. And if the law of God is not obeyed, then God will punish. The Vatican is saying the opposite. Any message that says that God is going to punish the world, that this is therefore a false message. Well, that would mean not just that the Catholic Church and the popes and all the saints, but it would mean all of the Old and New Testament, all of Christianity has been led astray by false teaching. That, in other words, Bergoglio is abolishing Christianity.
Right in front of our eyes, right there, right now. And that you're right, the church is already a communist instrument. It does look like it. And Father Kramer is also correct that all the people in the church, I guess up to and including bishops, have been forced to take the bioweapon kill shot. They're getting ready to overhaul everything there.
Everyone in the Vatican, at least, has been forced. And you find a few bishops, like Archbishop Joseph Strickland, who is resisting the Bergoglianism. And so right. Bergoglio sends an apostolic visitor to investigate him. I guess, like I've said many times, one by one, Bergoglio, from his high position that he usurps, he has no right to the papal throne. He's no valid pope. But he's like that man. I kind of remember his name. Was it Charles Whitman, who was in that tower
the mass shooter in Austin, Texas, University of Texas.
Yeah, the mass shooter. And from his position, he could just look down and just pick people off with his rifle, shoot them one by one, mercilessly, methodically, just picking them off one by one, shooting them dead one by one.
Charles Whitman, that's right.
Yeah. This is what Bergoglio was doing with Catholic bishops, with anyone who still has the Catholic faith. This is what he's doing one by one. He's picking them off. And people have not opened their eyes. The Catholic people have not opened their eyes to understand that this is a counterfeit church, a counterfeit pope, and who is establishing a counterfeit church. And those who are of the old religion, of the perennial Catholic faith, they are the ones who are being picked off one by one. They're being wiped out one by one, being removed, the way the bioweapon is picking people off one by one, until the human race will be exterminated. And this is Bergoglio's Vatican wants to exterminate the faith, to exterminate the Catholic faith, and to demolish the Catholic religion and replace it with this counterfeit United Nations new
right.
religion.
The New World Order religion. Mm-hmm. Nature. The naturist church. You're right, he's picking people off. And they've been shot all right, shot up with a needle. And they're going to go down. Not a good scene. I just don't know. You be careful because you are a voice and your voice is being heard. And they don't like that. I can guarantee it. So be very careful. All right. Thank you, Father Kramer. Talk to you in a couple weeks. We have much to talk about.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care. All right. We will be back Monday. In the meantime, you know where to find us. We'll be at Rents.com and pushing out the news your way every day. Thank you for being here. Thank you for caring. And we will talk soon. Be well.